Okay, so what's your dissertation about?
I actually did mine on onomastics, like,
right.
about kind of the additional names that people use in my island, the kind of system of naming.
All right, what island does it come from?
Northeast.
Right.
In the Western Isles, I don't know if you know where that is.
I haven't been here, but I've never been there or anything.
Well, that's quite good, because most people don't even know where the Western Isles is, so you're doing well. How about yourself?
Well, my dissertation is about, well, it's for the grammar paper, and it's about second language acquisition. So basically, I just interviewed some people who had learned English as a second language.
What kind of people? Was it a specific kind, like people at the uni?
Yeah,
or?
Well, they were students, but that was just, you know, that's just because they were easier to find.
Yeah.
But they were people who originally, well, who their first language was Chinese.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I just picked that because I already knew one person, and so I thought I'll be able to find other people.
Yeah, contacts through that person. That's quite good. Yeah, I just interviewed members of my local community, which is quite good because obviously I knew them, so I kind of knew who to pick and choose to might be good representatives.
So have you finished writing it, or is it still?
Oh, yeah, I had to hand it in June. So, yeah, I think I get my mark marked sometime in September, but not entirely sure. How about yourself?
No, I haven't finished mine yet. I had to get an extension. So it's due on the 3rd of September, so I'm just going into a bit of panic about it now, you know, feeling like it should be done, but it isn't. But I've done like all the interviewing and looked at the results and stuff like that, so it's just actual writing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah,
so I don't know, I found it was more interesting that I'd kind of done interviews and done my own research for it. Did you find that as well? Or?
Yeah, because when I asked my supervisor about it, he said, you know, you don't have to do your own research, you can just look at other people's and, you know, say something about that. But
it's not as original.
Yeah. I thought, you know, this seems like a bit of a waste of time. You know, all these other people have already said this.
Yeah,
what can I say about it?
Kind of setting opinions against each other rather than actually kind of contributing something new. So what have you found?
Well, it's kind of difficult to explain because the tests I did were only to do with one specific grammatical thing, which is subjacency violations. Basically, I found that, and it's about universal grammar. I don't know if you do any grammar?
We did a wee bit, yeah, but I did the grammar paper, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, sort of about that and whether, you know, I did people who learned English at different ages, so I thought I'd see, you know, if it made a difference to, you know, whether the universal grammar works.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it really did make much of a difference, but I didn't test anyone who'd learnt it like when they were quite old, like, you know, an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So they were mostly like teenagers when they learnt it, or one of them was bilingual. So
that's quite interesting though, that the teenagers would be the same as the bilingual individual.
There definitely was differences, especially like I got them to do two tests. One was just sort of you know, are these sentences grammatical, and some of them weren't, some of them weren't.
Mm-hmm.
I had to say whether it was or not, and on that one there wasn't so much of a difference, but I also got them to do just a sort of more spontaneous thing. Well, it wasn't completely spontaneous because I got them to look at a kid's book.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only a few words and I covered them up so, you know, and just see what was happening in pictures and stuff, and you could definitely tell how much more confident the bilingual person was. Like, you know, they were just talking away, blah, 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 and telling me millions of stuff. And the other people were more sort of, you know, they kept things more simple. And some of the things, they didn't know the words for at all, like a rake.
Oh, right. And perhaps they're, like, translating in their heads from Chinese to English as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was the last person who was the oldest. I could definitely tell that she was having a hard time with it, and what she actually wanted to do was read through the book first, well, look at the pictures first, and then tell me, instead of looking at it page by page, and I could see that she was trying to, you know, translate what she was going to say and then say it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't let her do that because That's not what the other people have done, so...
Yeah, I know in my own community, like, a lot of people are bilingual because it's mainly a Gaelic-speaking area.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of the kind of older people, you can tell that they're actually kind of translating it in their head before they say it. And sometimes they can even say things that sound just a little bit odd in English, not quite right, although obviously they are bilingual, but Gaelic's their first language, so...
Do you speak any Gaelic yourself?
Not really, a little bit. My boyfriend's... speaks it as his first language and his family and things, but yeah, I really should learn. I've got the perfect opportunity, so, but just, yeah, bits and pieces.
Yeah, I didn't realise there still were any people who spoke as their first language.
Yeah, in the Western Isles it's still quite strong, but it's dying even there, I think. Like, I think it probably will die, which is a shame. But yeah, my dissertation kind of, I think it's because it's a Gaelic-speaking area, partly. Is why there's all these kind of additional names, because one of the main categories is kind of patronymics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a really strong community there, and people are known by their kind of father's name and their grandfather's name. Like, it's really deep-rooted. So I don't know, I find that quite interesting. It's strange, though, because I've grown up with it, but I've had to try and put everything into categories and sort of...
Be more objective.
Yeah. I found I was able to do it, but only kind of after interviewing other people and trying to be really detached about it. So, but no, it was good. But also, kind of pretty much everybody's called McDonald. Well, not kind of everybody, but like about 30% of like the area that I was doing, the people are called McDonald, and something like. Is it 55% of the population have one of five surnames? So it's kind of like so many people are called the same name. They kind of have to have some kind of additional system, or else it just, you know, you just couldn't identify people properly.
Yeah.
You'd have to go through some big spiel of like, oh, such and such, who lives in such and such, who does such and such, and is married to, basically. But you
That's
can
weird,
like.
Because I don't think I've met anyone who has the same second name as me, except family, obviously.
Yeah.
My second name is. Well, my grandpa, whose name is Irish, so I think that's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Ford. A lot of people have F-O-R-D, but mine's got E at the end. I don't think I've ever met anyone who has it spelled that way.
Yeah, I mean, I've got quite an unusual name, which is probably why I don't have, like, one of these community names. But, like, my surname's Bramwell, and we're the only family called that in, like, the whole of the islands, pretty much, so... So yeah, my dad gets called Bramwell as like his kind of name, because my mum gets called like Ben Bramwell, like wife of Bramwell, instead of, you know, it's her surname as well, but because he's identified with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like Nian Bramwell, like daughter of Bramwell or whatever. It helps that my dad's a teacher, so kind of everyone in the community sort of knows him.
Right, so is it quite a small place then?
Well, there's 1,600 people on the island, but like the west side of the island that I did, there's... I think it was 320 people, roughly. So it's, yeah, it's quite a small sort of area.
And that's weird, because, you know, I've always lived in Glasgow, so...
Have you?
Well, I briefly lived in Aberdeen, but, you know, that's just a big city as well, so...
Mm.
Don't know really what it would be like to live in such a small community.
Yeah, it's quite nice. Well, it's quite nice in some ways, but then you have the disadvantages as well. Because it's in a way, it's a great advantage that kind of everyone knows you and... It's really nice, people know your name, and if, say you're walking home at 6 o'clock in the morning, someone would give you a lift, they wouldn't like beat you up or whatever, you know. But then on the other hand, gossip's just horrendous, so honestly, everybody knows everything about you, which can just get really claustrophobic after a while. I mean, I think that's maybe the biggest disadvantage of living in a small community.
So is that why you decided to come to Glasgow then, because it's bigger, or is it just... You know, Glasgow University itself, they wanted to.
Yeah, well, I knew, like, I'd have to go away to go to university anyway, yeah. And I just quite fancy. Well, first of all, I went to Strathclyde to do engineering. Not entirely sure why. But then after a year, I changed to Glasgow, so. But yeah, I'm still not quite sure why I thought engineering was for me at all.
So, you didn't like it then?
It was just really, really dull. I mean, there were people in my class who absolutely loved it, but for me, I just found it just really, really, really dull. I don't know. Like, I know it's necessary, but
Yeah. Not for you then.
No, not for me at all. Have you? What subjects did you do at first? Were you always really sure you wanted to do English language?
Or? No, my original plan was to do English literature and Greek.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because I'd done a little bit of Greek at school and then I did it again in first year. And I did like it, but doing a language is so, so time consuming. It's like there's always a lot more work to do for that than for anything else. You know, there'd be something every night, some translation or whatever. And I felt like it was just, you know, stopping me doing any work on English literature, or had to do English language in first year as well.
Mm.
So then in second year I didn't do Greek anymore, so I couldn't have done that as my degree. And then I was still thinking I'd do English literature, but when I went to pre-enrollment meeting, that was, and they showed me the list of papers, that was the moment when I thought, maybe this isn't for me, because like, I looked at them and I thought, I don't want to do any of these. Maybe like one, but not eight.
Yeah, exactly.
I was doing English language instead, and I'm really glad I did.
Yeah, I'm really glad. I mean, I took one English lit paper, Irish literature, which was the only one that appealed to me, I have to say. But yeah, no, I'm really glad I did English language as well.
Yeah. Also, there would have been talks for English literature. I hated that. That was like...
Oh, what, the presentations?
Yeah, presentations. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the worst bit of English literature for me.
Yeah, I had to do one for onomastics for English language anyway, so I suppose it didn't matter that I had to do them for Irish lit as well. But yeah, I think most papers of English language you don't, do you?
No, I don't think so. I hope not, anyway.
So what did you...
Me suddenly discover I've got one to do this year or something.
Oh, no, what are you taking this year? Do you know yet?
I'm doing Old Icelandic and I'm not sure about the other two, because I did five in third year, so I'll just be doing three.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, I should probably talk to someone about that, but I haven't even really thought about this coming year because I'm still doing my dissertation.
Oh, I suppose you don't really, haven't really had a chance to. But yeah, no, I had a friend who did, I still have a friend in fact, who did Old Icelandic last year, and she found it really hard work, but she really, really enjoyed it. I think it's something you do have to work hard at, but it's worth doing.
Yeah. Well, I've always, you know, been into languages and stuff, even if it's a weird to be language that I'm never going to use. Like, you know, I did Greek, that was classical Greek, so obviously no one speaks it anymore. And in second year, I did Russian.
Oh, right.
That was really hard. Because I'd done, you know, German and French and stuff, but Russian is just so different. It's like, it's nothing like any European languages. It's got all these wee rules, and the whole way it works is just completely different. It was really hard.
That must make it quite interesting though.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed doing it, but you know, couldn't tell you anything about it now, because it's just like, you know, I just scraped a pass and that was it, and I thought, never thinking about that again.
Alright. Yeah, I've got a friend who did ancient Greek actually. She was probably in your class. Did you know? I don't know.
Oh,
maybe you had quite a big class in first year.
No, it was quite a small class. Yeah, I think. It's short for...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She's quite wee. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think she gave that up after second year as well, because it was just such a ridiculous amount of work.
Yeah. Also, the... I was more interested in the language side, but they did make us do a little bit of history, and I did classics at school, and I really liked that, but the history they made us do was, like, you know, reading Herodotus and him going on about wars, and it's just like so boring, because all he says is, you know, there was these guys and they were wearing this type of armour, and there was these other guys, and it's all just like big lists of people and stuff.
Yeah, that's not really the kind of history you want to do.
I didn't like that at all.
No, I don't know. I'm actually thinking I'm so glad I'm not doing English literature now. I can actually read books again that I'm not forced to read by my subject, which is quite nice. Like, did you not find that?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I don't have time to read anything I want because I'm reading these other things I didn't think much about.
And then analysing them to death, which is a shame because it kind of, it ruins things that you really, really love in a way. Well, I don't know, that's just totally my opinion on it, but...
No, I suppose you have to be able to switch off and just read books for enjoyment as well.
Which I'm finally finding myself able to do again after after 2.5 years of English literature.
I mean, some of the things were good because it was things that I probably wouldn't have read, you know, otherwise. Like Shakespeare, I mean, I quite like Shakespeare, but it's hard to sit down and read it if you don't have a reason.
Yeah, and things like Paradise Lost, like, as well. Yeah. I would never probably sit down and read that
I
normally.
I don't think I even finished that.
Oh, I really liked it.
But Ulysses, oh, I just thought that was a waste of time. I didn't read the whole thing, but I read more than the prescribed passages.
Mm-hmm.
But
you didn't think much of it?
No, I mean, I suppose, you know, it's all very interesting how it's, you know, completely different from other books that, you know, had been written previously, but it just felt like a chore just getting through one page, and I thought, if you're not getting anything out of it, then what's the point?
Yeah. Really? I don't know, I think I was going to say I quite liked it, but I think I liked it more once I'd finished it, which probably defeats the purpose of liking a book, but yeah, I thought some sections were, you know, quite good, and then other ones, it was like a chore.
Yeah.
Even a paragraph you had to write, I have to read this, so I'll read this. And
yeah. No, I mean, I suppose I'm glad I had to go at it, but
yeah,
can't see myself ever picking it up again to read the bit that I didn't read.
Oh. I don't know, I could maybe have another go at it, but I think it's because, like, again, because I finished it, I'm thinking, oh, maybe it wasn't so bad. But no, it probably was. So what part of Glasgow are you from, anyway?
Well, I was living in Shawlands, but I just recently moved to Partick.
Oh, right, so nice and close to the uni, then.
Yeah, well, I was thinking it would be closer than Shawlands, but, you know, walking, it takes half an hour, and it took half an hour to get the underground and bus.
Oh, right.
So it's kind of the same time, but it's much nicer to walk instead of getting the bus.
Yeah, true. No, I'm up in Annisland just now.
Oh, yeah, that's quite far away then, isn't it?
A wee bit, but it's quite good, like, bus service between, like, just straight down Great Western Road, basically.
Oh, right.
And then got off just the end of Irish Road. Well, quite a good bus service, apart from this morning, but
yeah, I think the buses are not really very reliable.
No, they're not the best, are they?
Like, especially early in the morning. I mean, I was lucky because last year I didn't have classes very early.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was not too bad. But then, you know, in third year I had the classes, like, quite early, so I had to leave and it, at a time when it was really, really busy, because the road where I live it was right next to Pollock Shores Road, which is quite a busy road.
Yeah.
So there was, like, always millions and billions of people going to work at that time.
And then you find buses just going past you and past
yeah,
you and past you because they're full.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's annoying.
So did you go away anywhere during summer, or did you go back home?
No, I haven't. Well, I went back home to do my dissertation for about a month. Well, just to do the research for it and interview people and things. So, that was kind of my being back home for the summer. And I haven't been home since then. I'm just working, basically. So, yeah. I'm doing, like, William Hill Bookmakers. It's actually all right, though. I was kind of thinking a little bit dubious when I got the job. But, yeah, no, it's actually fine. It's quite interesting.
I didn't quite manage to get a job. I was sort of half-heartedly looking, but now that, you know, I've gone into this big panic about my dissertation, I'm just...
Yeah, well, even the fact that you have to do your dissertation, I mean, it's not really compatible with work, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was helping out with, like, a conference earlier in the summer at the uni. That was quite cool.
Yeah.
That colour studies, I don't know if you heard about it.
Oh, yeah. She told us about it in tutorial, but... You know, I thought, you have to pay to go and hear stuff that you can hear in tutorials,
no thanks. Oh, no, I didn't have to pay because I was kind of helping out and volunteering and stuff. So, no, it was quite cool, actually. It was really, really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I did like the stuff we did about colour semantics. Although some of it I found a bit too scientific.
Oh, right.
But I liked the things about, what we talked about in the tutorial about... connotations and, you know, why is black associated with death, that kind of thing. I find that quite interesting. But the things about hue and like in tones and stuff. I found that a bit difficult. And you know, she gave us all these, you know, sheets of graphs and stuff. I don't think I really looked at it.
Right. I don't know. I think because I've got the whole like sciencey background thing. I quite like that sort of thing. I mean, it's like the phonetics. I quite like the sciencey bit
that's
of phonetics.
I didn't do any phonetics papers. Cause I thought too sciencey. Take it away.
All right.
But I did History of English, and that does involve some phonetics. So I was glad that I'd done a bit of it. At least, you know, so that I could understand what they were telling us.
Yeah, it's really good, actually, the first and second year that you kind of do a bit of absolutely everything, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I've done mainly modern papers, but I'm planning to do Germanic philology.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that one.
It might be quite interesting. Yeah, I think I'm going to do that one anyway. I think it's the last year they're having that paper, according to my friend. Anyway, I don't know whether that's totally accurate or not, but...
Well, I don't know, could be. Suppose we should do it then, just to, you know, make sure some people are in the class. Yeah, I think the historical paper is really struggle. Well, it seems so to me anyway, because when I did Old English Literature, there was only like 6 people in the whole entire class, and so the tutorials were like 2 and 3.
Right.
I mean, it was quite, in a way, it was quite good to have such a small class. You know, it meant you could spend more time over things and stuff like that, but it's a shame that not more people want to do it.
I know, I think on onomastics there was only like about 12 or 13 or something, maybe slightly more than that, but that's, I don't know, that's definitely my subject. I think I'm quite into that.
Yeah, I don't think I really liked that one when we did it. Well, you know, we only did a wee bit of it in second year, but I don't know why I didn't. I think it was very good.
I know, it's strange, like some people just get into certain things. I suppose it's like me absolutely finding engineering the dullest thing ever, and yet other people in my class just find it fascinating. So do you have one subject that you just think, right, that's my thing? Or
well, I quite liked Old English Literature, I suppose, because it was you know, translation and stuff like that, because I was used to doing stuff like that, whereas other people found it quite hard. Like, I don't know if you know her.
Oh, right, yeah.
She dropped out of it because she was more interested in the literature side of it, which there was less of, because we had spent a lot of time on the translation itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was good. I thought it was great, the translation, because I had a background in languages, so I found it a lot easier than some people. So yeah, I suppose I quite like that. And grammar, that's my dissertation.
It's strange, because I think when I revise grammar more, I'll like it more, you know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah, it's something I'll have to definitely do more of this year, because I think it's something I'm kind of lacking in.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people wanted to do a dissertation in grammar because they didn't want to do it in the exam.
Yeah, quite a lot of people said that to me.
Weird reason.
Yeah,
it's quite strange. I wanted to do it because, you know, because I already thought I wanted to do something to do with second language acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why I picked it. And I was like, I hope, you know, because I knew that a lot of people were picking it and some people weren't going to get it. And I thought, I hope some of these people who are just doing it because they don't like it don't get my place.
Oh, I know. Because an awful lot of people did that, from what I heard anyway, what people are telling me. But yeah, with onomastics, I just figured, right, just do something you really enjoy, because you're going to spend, like, what, 2-3 months on it, so you might as well do something that you like.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't know why people want to do it if they don't like it, because really you've got to spend a lot more time on it than you would for preparing for the exam, I would have thought, anyway.
Well, exactly. So, yeah, it makes sense. I don't know, it quite appealed to me doing something that no one else had really done before as well. Because, I mean, there was, like, so little secondary material that I could go on. I basically just had to go out and do it myself. And I don't know, there was something about that that just appealed to me.
Yeah, I suppose it must be quite nice doing something that's new.
But then again, same with yourself, doing the research.
Yeah, but, I mean, I suppose there already is a lot... I mean, you know, not a lot written about... the specific thing that I was doing, but I mean, there is a lot of things written about second language acquisition or first language acquisition. So there was a lot to look through as well.
Yeah. In a way that probably helped me. I didn't have to kind of spend a month just looking through books and things. I think I found like 2 articles which were specifically on what I was talking about and not even in the area of Lewis kind of thing. Mm. Like one was written in Lewis in the early 80s and one was in Sutherland in the 60s or something. And that was literally all I could find on this particular thing. So.
Well, that's weird because I found like so many books, you know, just searching for it. I found, you know, so many books and you obviously can't look through them all because there's just not enough time. And then some of the ones you get are just not very useful.
Oh, right.
Or a lot of them are just sort of theories and stuff. You only need to know so much of that. What I really wanted to see was, you know, studies that other people had done so I could see what kind of methods they used and stuff like that. And that was a lot harder to find.
Did you manage to find any?
Yeah, I did find a couple eventually, but don't know why it was so hard to find, because obviously the people that write about the theories are basing it on studies that people have done, but no one actually, I don't know, the studies themselves were quite difficult to find.
No, that's really strange, because you think people would find the studies, like, really quite interesting as well.
Yeah, they were a bit more interesting than the just the whole theoretical side of it.
Yeah, but a little less kind of dry and academic.
Yeah.